When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, what's up, everyone? This is the weekend edition of the Real Vision Daily Briefing. And in this clip, you're going to hear a great conversation between Raoul and one of Real Vision's favorite guest personalities, Russell Clark, discussing the impact of innovations such as extracting oil and gas from shale, the ongoing center of gravity shift from capital to labor, and the vulnerabilities of centralized risk management. So much good information in this clip. Enjoy.
Russell, fantastic to see you as ever.
Thanks for having me back. It feels like a week is like a month, and a month is a year, and everything that we used to know is no longer true, and it's just it's exciting and tiring at the same time, I think. Well, that's the way I feel about life.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you up to these days? Give people a bit of background of what you're up to, because it's super interesting.
You know, last year I decided to close down the fund and give money back to investors. At the time it was partly because the way, when I'd come into the industry, it sort of came through as an analyst, and I used to ask what I thought were difficult questions. And then when I came to an answer, I'd go, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. And then you get quite a clear vision of where the world was going or how everything was interconnected. And then over the last sort of few years, I started to it just became that world has seemed to have died, if that makes sense. So I don't know if it's, purely central bank activism or just we are moving into a different era, perhaps. I don't know. But I really, I lost the sort of feeling that I had an edge on where things are going. And so it just made sense for me to step back and give money back. And so now I'm basically just thinking about the world, and then I write my thoughts on my website, which is, RussellClark.com, Russell with a hyphen, Clark.com. But I must say, I find it's been, liberating, because, it's in a way sort of saying, okay, let's go back to the beginning, have a look at what works, what doesn't work, and let's try and understand where we are. I think, there are many things in the last year or so that, have really confounded me. For example, I'm not sure last time I talked to you, I talked about food inflation, perhaps to you, Raoul, but, I was sort of highlighted about a year ago to a lot of people, and even when I was still managing money, that food prices were going to go to the roof. And so, when I was thinking about that, I was like, oh, well, I'll just stop central banks from doing QE. And what we've seen is food prices continue to roof higher. And the Fed's still buying securities on this sort of incredible basis. So it's like, okay, everything I used to understand doesn't sort of hold together. So now I'm like looking around, trying to understand things a bit better. And then we'll see. Once I've got a stronger grip on how the world works, I think, I'll look for ways to play that.
It's interesting. I did a similar thing to you back in 2005, that I opted out of running a hedge fund and started writing. And I found that writing process immensely useful, because you organize your thoughts better than you do when you're in the thick of the action of, having to live by monthly P&Ls and monthly NAV. It's a really useful process.
Yeah, absolutely. Personally, you're probably a bit different to me. Personally, my natural default is laziness. So I'm very happy lying in bed and do nothing. So unless I set up a structure that forces me to do something, I'll do nothing. I don't know where it's come from. But when I need to lose weight, I sign up for a half marathon. Or if I need to learn a language, I sign up for a test in a year or something, just so I have motivation. So the website acts as that sort of motivation. Otherwise, I just sort of do nothing, I think. not nothing, but it's sort of working well. I mean, what I found is that, I think the first time I ever came on Real Vision, I talked about Shale with you.
That's right.
And and the thing is, like, I looked at Shale and I went, this makes no sense to me because it doesn't make any money. Why is anyone doing this? And, what was interesting is I think that was correct. There was a lot of shale companies did exactly go to the wall. They were capital destruction machines. But the weird thing I started to notice is actually, it might actually be the real deal, to my surprise. And it's just going through that. And when you're managing money, it's a little bit hard because if you commit to one view on something and then you raise money on the back of that view, the threshold for you changing your opinion suddenly goes through the roof because you're going to go back to people and say, oh, actually, Shale is a real deal. Whereas when you're sort of more sort of independent and free, you can look at it and go, actually, the data now is coming in very differently to how I expected. And that's exactly what's happened recently. It's like, I must say, I thought when they started to go through this huge inventory of old wells in this drilled uncompleted wells in the States, I thought they were going to find that these wells were empty. They had no oil or gas. They were just drilled to raise money. And so you'd see productivity collapse. And the opposite's actually happened. Productivity's sort of gone up a lot. And that's been like also sort of mind-opening for me because it explains a lot of these sort of weird things. Like I look at US budget deficit, you can look at the Fed, I look at a lot of things and think, God, the dollar should just get absolutely crushed. And all it does is stay very strong, and very strong against currencies like Russian ruble, Turkish lira, of course. But it's, I think perhaps we're in the shale revolution. I suspect maybe I've underestimated. And again, it just feeds back into this.
What you're thinking is US energy independence is a larger factor than people imagine. Therefore, the US is exporting less dollars into the world. Is that part of the thesis?
What I've found is extending an idea too far that, like, okay, they're not going to export dollars and there's not enough dollars. And I like that extension because I find that they're not exactly joined up. There's an idea behind them that's okay, but it's not exactly joined up. I think a much better way of thinking about it is the shale technology works. It does keep increasing productivity, but the only country with the infrastructure to use it properly is the US. So this gives them a long-term structural energy advantage in. And you can really see it. I think I said since some research to you, but it's been staggering to see like natural gas LNG prices in Europe and Asia tripling, quadrupling in some cases, and US prices are still around the $5 per cubic feet type thing. And when I look at shale, what I expected to see is maybe gas prices, natural gas prices stay low, but oil prices moving much higher because shale is naturally much better for gas than for oil. But what we see is US energy prices stay relatively low. And so, the world that we are used to from like the 70s onwards when the US was reliant on energy imports, maybe that's dead. Maybe that's what we're seeing is that now the US doesn't need to rely on foreigners for anything really because they export food. Now export energy. Maybe the world we lived in is now dead. And that, I like that because the world has changed. The financial world has changed substantially from how it used to trade maybe 10, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Is that also part of the ongoing breaking of supply chains or regionalization of supply chains? Is that how we can think about this? Because that's definitely something that's been underway. Trump accelerated, but it feels like that's going to continue.
Yeah, I must say my line of thinking is that I would say you and I would have come of age in an era of free markets, right? Where the idea was both capital and industry should move to where it was most efficient, and you know, create a world that, you know, where efficiency was prized over all things. And that world was sort of conjured into existence and policed, I think, by the states. And I think that world was conjured into existence because it suited what America needed. So in the 70s and 80s, they were reliant on foreign supplies of commodities. And so they wanted that to be as cheap and as efficiently priced as possible. But also, I think politically, we were coming from an environment in the post-World War II period where labor had a lot of political power. And that political power was expressed in both full employment and rising wages and a growing profit share, to labor. And so I think there were these two things came together where suddenly politics in the US was focusing on A, reducing the power of labor, and B, reducing the price of commodities to the lowest degree possible to create a deflationary environment. And that was the world we lived in. So what that world meant was that governments would actually encourage unemployment from time to time via raising interest rates, via fiscal austerity, you know, all the things that we now look as bad things. Central banks tell us they're bad. Governments tell us they're bad. But they were there to encourage this sort of deflationary environment. And I used to think this was the natural ray of the world, but it was a world that was just met the political needs that we had at the time. And you can see that now in that, you know, when I look at the US now, it's like budget deficits don't matter. Interest rate policy doesn't matter. The political need seems to be driven almost exclusively by having asset prices as high as possible to maximize the wealth of the state or of the US as much as possible. But then now, because of energy independence, you know, they can, you know, destroy trade with Russia. And that's not really a big deal politically or for the markets. There are some other angles I'm looking at that, which I find very interesting. But, you know, when I traded them a few years ago, in a free market world, they would have led to huge bankruptcies. But it seems we're in a world where bankruptcy, particularly for rich, for wealthy people, is just considered a bad or a policy mistake. You know, I don't know how I feel about that, but that just says the reality.
Real Vision subscribers can always access this full interview over on our Plus tier at realvision.com.